time for us to take a look at the latest trends on the big screen. Or I guess yesterday, it was really all about the commercials. The game was interesting, but the commercials, I think, are always more fun because this is like the only time of the year where even if you don't like the game, you can always watch and make the game kind of like a backdrop because the commercials just make things all the more interesting. But we'll talk to our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, who is waiting patiently on the hotline. Al, how are you, my man?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Lovely. Before we get into the nuts and bolts and some other questions here, I want to start with this. Because the Super Bowl is always wildly popular for a number of different reasons, wanted to kind of get your take on what you thought was the best commercial of the night last night.
Well, I actually thought they were pretty lackluster for the most part, but my favorite that really, worked for me was the Peter Dinklage, Morgan Freeman Doritos ad. I just thought it was fun. Added Busta Rhymes and Missy Elliott into it. And anytime you can have Dinklage rapping and then you cut to like Morgan Freeman in a white suit rapping, like, I can't think of anything better, to be honest. So I thought that was great. And then the Odell Eli Manning dance was pretty fun. But besides that, the rest were kind of lackluster.
Now
that was good.
The time of my life.
I was thinking, as far as some of those went, too, that probably had to be one of the cheaper ones. They were just in the practice facility, it looked like.
True. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it was, according to USA Today's ad meter, that was second, which is a little crazy to me that it would be that high up. Because, like you said, the production value is not very good in that one.
Sure.
It's more of just the what it is. It's just two guys dancing a dirty dancing.
Yeah, the premise was, though, the question, at least on my mind as I watched it, I thought, they got to do it. They're going to have to do it. They got to do the lift. And sure enough, they did. That it made it brilliant.
Yeah, very, very, very good stuff. Well, some of the other commercials, or I guess in this case promos that came out last night, for some of the big movies that I think a lot of people are looking forward to a little bit later on this year. Right now the box office is pretty quiet. We'll dive into that here in just a few minutes, but I want to get into the trailers that were not necessarily released. But I think for a lot of people last night, they were seeing these trailers for the first time. Which movie are you more excited for at this point, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, or The Avengers Infinity War?
Is there a none of the above?
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Dropping the hammer.
Both.
You hate them both. Why?
Oh, I didn't hate the spots themselves. I'm just not, I don't know, I'm not excited for either one as far as movies. I thought the spot-wise, I thought Avengers was the better of the trailers I've seen. So that, if you're just asking which spot I like better, I'd say the Avengers. But if we're talking movie-wise, the last Jurassic Park movie wasn't very good. This one might be. They're changing it up a little bit. I do like the director a lot, which, for those who have listened to me in the past, the director is a much bigger deal than I think anything else when it comes to a film, especially of that variety. If they're able to have free reign, and the guy J.A. Bayona, who's done a couple movies, Monster Calls and The Impossible, is very good. So I am a little intrigued by that, and I just think, but with Avengers, I just think there's way too much going on, way too many characters, and you saw that in the spot yesterday. The spot was just showing characters, and they have so many, I don't think they're going to be able to divide enough time for all of them to not feel rushed, unless it was a five-hour movie. I know they're splitting into two, but still. I just don't think, I think it's going to feel rushed, and the characters are going to feel underdeveloped, and both of those I'm just not that excited for.
What about the Solo trailer that came out? You know, I think this has certainly been talked about for a while. We knew that it was coming. And I think it's interesting that they go the direction of making a movie on Han Solo, but any thoughts on that trailer that did debut last night?
Well, you should have asked. You should have threw Solo into the mix, because Solo would have been my top pick for sure. Yeah, of course I'm excited. It's not only is it the Han Solo movie, which, as you said, is intriguing, but I think it's a smart move. He's the most interesting of the original Star Wars characters. Had a little bit of a backside, dark side in his past they alluded to, but they never actually said it. So it offers a lot of, possibility to see where they go with that. Plus, you have Donald Glover as Lando, which I think was, like, the best part of the trailer. Like, Donald Glover looks amazing. You had Woody Harrelson, Emilio Clarke from Game of Thrones. It doesn't matter who's playing Han Solo, but I am excited for Alden Ehrenreich to do it after his performance in Hail Caesar, even though they only showed him very briefly. Yeah, of course I'm excited for Solo. And also the trailer, it was the first really release of anything, so it kind of showed the look they're going for, and it seemed more Rogue One than I had originally anticipated. And I love that look in the Star Wars, so I'm very excited for Solo, and I thought it was a very good trailer, too.
What about the new Cloverfield thing they can't? How does J.J. Abrams do this? He somehow keeps everything quiet. He did it with 10 Cloverfield Lane. Like a week before the movie came out, he released commercials. Now he's got this thing on Netflix no one knew was happening, and then all of a sudden, boom, we're releasing this tonight. Here's the backstory to the first Cloverfield movie. How's he do that?
I have no idea. That was definitely, it was something that they had mentioned possibly doing, it had been out there that this movie was going to get, there was another Cloverfield movie getting made, but then it kind of just disappeared, and people seemed to kind of just forget about it. And then it popped up on the Super Bowl. It was released last night to okay reviews, but I think the bigger story is the fact that Netflix somehow released this movie without any fanfare whatsoever, just showed on the Super Bowl, released it last night. J.J. Abrams involved, a pretty solid cast, no like huge superstar names, but a very good cast. And yeah, it blows my mind how I was able to do under the radar, especially with someone like J.J. Abrams and Netflix involved. But to answer your question, I think that is why he was able to do it, is because Netflix has been able to fly under the radar with some projects, mm-hmm. and I don't know how they do it, but they've been very good at that and making it kind of a spectacle, and there's not a better place to do it than the Super Bowl. And the way that, like I said, Netflix is just smart when it comes to marketing. I mean, they're better than smart when it comes to marketing. That's their bread and butter. Everything they've done has been marketed very well. And so, yeah, I just thought it was interesting. I had no idea it was coming out, no idea it was premiering last night. And it was a fun little thing in the Super Bowl because all of us were watching and we're all like, oh, no, had no idea this was coming out. A friend of mine who's a big Cloverfield fan thought it was on the shelf, actually. Didn't think it was getting made at all. So it was very intriguing and, good for all parties, to be honest with you.
Yeah, sure. I know I would straight to my Netflix account and check it out to make sure it was there. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it because I do. I like those Cloverfield series movies.
Again, we're talking with our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Coco seemed to be the one animated film of 2017 that really got a ton of notoriety. When it came out, I remember hearing nothing but good things. People continued to say this is the one animated film that's really going to win a lot of awards. Coco swept the Annie Awards, and I've got to admit that I don't really know what the Annie Awards are. And I think, you know, we're in award season, which can get really, really confusing because I don't know what kinds of awards we're talking about. I don't know where the Annie Awards come from. Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, so the Annie Awards have been they're basically the Academy Award for the animation sector. So you have, like, your... they give an award to the best TV show, the best movie, the best, like, preschool program. And so last night, the big winners were Coco and, for TV, Rick and Morty, which was great. I love that show. But it wasn't a very strong year for animated film this year. As Coco beat out, like, I think it was, like, Big Boss Baby and Cars 3. That being said, that shouldn't take away from the fact that how good of a movie Coco is, and I think it would have been up there no matter how good the talent was. It's that good of a movie. And, yeah, and if you look at it, like, I think the Emmy Awards have been around for a long time. I don't even want to guess. At least the 80s, maybe even longer. And the last couple years have been super, super strong with animated movies, and this year just wasn't. But I think this win definitely puts Coco in the driver's seat for the Academy Awards, even though it was already there. And it's a fun little awards, like we said. Like, this time of year, you have your, you know, Writers Guild, Directors Guild, Screen Actors Guild. Everyone gives an award, Independent Spirit Awards. And this is just another award show, but this is only for animated programming.
Well, I got to ask you, because every time I look at the theaters around here to see if there's anything drawing my interest, I look and I just kind of roll my eyes and I say, oh, man, I don't really want to go see any of this. There's just way too much there that I really have no desire to watch. Is there anything good coming out at the box office sometime soon? I mean, I'm not here to bash Jumanji. I haven't seen it. I've heard it's okay, but when that's leading the way at the box office for, I think, what, the sixth time in 7 weeks, I think that says a lot about the lack of star power and about the lack of good movies out there right now.
Yeah, but it's not surprising. This is the time of year that this is what happens this time of year. Nothing really comes out. Last year we were actually, usually January, February, and most of March are pretty slow. Last year was actually strange because we had movies like Get Out and Logan that premiered in February that were part of the Academy Award discussion and were really good movies, kind of genre fair, original. This year it doesn't really seem like, you know, definitely in January we haven't had that. We have a couple movies coming out in February I'm excited for. Black Panther I think is going to destroy the box office. I think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to have even more of like social ramifications with, you know, it being the first superhero starring an African-American person. So that's going to be huge. And we can talk about that. I think it premieres next Friday or a week from that. I can't remember exactly.
It's right around Valentine's Day. You're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to be huge. And then the weekend after that, you have Annihilation, which stars Natalie Portman, Oscar Isaac, missing someone. Tessa Thompson's in it as well from Thor Ragnarok. And that's directed by the same guy who directed Ex Machina, which I really enjoyed. So it's kind of that same like sci-fi horror, but it looks really good. Looks a lot of fun, has a lot of talented people involved. So I think those will be the big ones in February. And then if you keep looking at it, kind of March and April are kind of going to be slow too. And then until you have like, you know, May's huge with Avengers and I think Solo comes out in May. But until then, it's just going to be like every other weekend there's going to be something to see. So it's not going to be crazy in the theaters for the next couple weeks, I wouldn't assume.
I'm still holding out for later on this year when Holmes and Watson comes out. You got me excited for that, man. I keep looking and I keep looking for an actual release date. I know it's not till the end of the year, but that's what I'm really, really holding out for. All right, my man, we need to get to your weekly picks to click. What should we be watching for this week?
It's another lackluster week on TV premieres, but we do have on Sunday on HBO the new Alan Ball show. Alan Ball did 6 Feet Under and wrote American Beauty, and he's back with a show called Here and Now. That seems like kind of like a supernatural family drama, but it's starring Murderers Row of Holly Hunter and Tim Robbins. So until I hear anything bad against it, I haven't heard much. I'm going to check it out. You can't really go wrong with those two and Alan Ball. So hopefully it's as good as the pieces advertised.
Very good stuff. Well, Al, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. We look forward to doing this again next week.
All right, sounds great. I'll talk to you guys then.
All righty. That's Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, giving us, well, I guess kind of a bleak outlook as to what to expect at the box office over the next couple of months here until we get into the springtime. And I guess that's not a huge, huge surprise, but there will be some better days at that box office, no doubt about it.